I was doing well till I get out of the truck, and everything seemed to turn loose. So if I get sort of a, I'm going to take my coat off because I'll be using it as a Kleenex. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We've been dealing with prayer last Saturday morning. I gave a short devotion about prayer and sometimes how we don't pray hard enough and earnestly enough. And I don't know about you being guilty of that, but I know that I am. It's great examples in the Bible of desperate prayer. Lord, help the thief on the cross. I believe that prayer was a prayer of desperation. He's on the edge of eternity, the thief was. And his last hope of any kind was on the next cross. We don't really experience desperations in our life, except for my wife when she can't find her keys. Just a couple of days ago, I think starting somewhere around Wednesday, she was going to go, her and Mrs. Piper go to Warrior, to the gymnasium there, and they have an old folks called Silver Slippers exercise class there. It's sort of funny to go in there to watch. Thank you, Lord, for those people that do that. But it's sort of funny to watch. She couldn't find her keys. She could not find her keys. The devil had snuck in and taken her keys and hid them somewhere and put them away. Anybody, you ever had problems like that? I hang mine on a hook. I go in the house and hang my keys up. And then do whatever's necessary. Jackie oftentimes goes in the house throwing things as she's running through the house. So that's what happens to keys. We have discovered this issue and we have learned to pray about it. Sometimes the prayer don't come right away. Sometimes we have to move stuff we haven't seen in years. We have a basement with one side given to containers. We don't know what's in those containers. We put it in a long time ago and haven't opened them since. But she got to the point looking for her keys that they must be in one of those containers and wanted me to go down and search through each one of them until I found the keys. Well, they're not only be in those containers. But finally we stopped. Was in the bedroom. I determined they only going to be in one or two rooms, this one or the living room. So we was in the bedroom. I said, stop. Let's pray. And we prayed, asked God to help us to find those keys. Show us where they are, Lord. And we said, amen. And we got up and I looked over at a clothes basket that I had tripped over a couple of times in all this searching. I said, I haven't looked in here. And she said, oh, they're in there. You remember? Oh, I remember. I put them in there. I know they're there. And so I lifted up the towel, and they were. She didn't think that they were there before we prayed. I'm not going to argue with her about that. Amen? I'm not going to argue with her. I think the Lord opens our eyes to things that are obviously right in front of us. Amen? I can tell you about prayer. I can tell you about prayer changing the mind of the Italian government, which was just one woman. But she was determined that we were going to leave Italy. And we'd had to leave the European Union completely. We'd have to go back to the States. It gave us 2 weeks to get our stuff, which was a house full of stuff, all packed up and on a boat and headed out. There's no way in the world we could have even come close to that. But that was her determination. And so we said, thank you very much. Went home, and then we had a trip to Germany. In that 2 weeks' time, we had to run up to Germany and come back and everything. Got up there, and we had contacted pastors to pray for us. We don't want to leave. God brought us to Italy to minister to our soldiers, and that's what we've been doing. We had a church. We had a congregation going. People were getting saved. baptized, and we were the work was going well, and so we didn't want to leave. But when we came back in 2 weeks, the woman met us at the door and said, "Why are you still here?" I said, "We don't want to go. We want to stay. We do this work. We're not involved with the local economy, and we want to go on and continue that work." And she looked at us like we were brand new people. I'm telling you, complete face change, everything. And for whatever reason, God put it in her heart to be merciful to us and allow us to stay. And she didn't only do that. She arranged for our rent to be a tad less than it was before. It's only 6,000 Italian lira then, instead of the 8,000 it had been before. That was a lira was about one to a dollar, or actually half a one lira to half a dollar, like that. So it wasn't all that bad rent and everything. But God provided. He changed her mind. I had no place to appeal to other than God. In the Italian government, in their economy, that woman had complete authority to run us out of country. In fact, when we went back in, we sort of half expected that she would load us into a van and take us to the airport and put us on a plane to Alabama. But change, when we walked in and she looked at us and sort of scornful at first, but then she softened and welcomed us into Italy. We've been there a year. It's time we got welcome. Paul says we need to pray. God says pray. We need to spend time in prayer. I'm looking at Romans chapter 8. No, I'm not. I'm looking at Proverbs. How did we get past Romans? Romans chapter 8. And verse number 26 says, where'd it go? There. And it shall. That's wrong. Right, get it right. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's keys. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Paul says, I pray always. He's always praying. He's not in a situation where he's not be able to continue his prayer list. I wonder what his list was like. Paul was a man such like we are sometimes. He had a super ability to sit down and reach out to the Lord for help and direction. You remember what God did to encourage him to go into Macedonia and to up into that part of the region. There was a man in his dreams came out and said, come and help us. And he determined he was going to do that. And he couldn't just drop what he was doing right now and turn and go there. He had to wait till things worked in that direction. But he went and did that. God got his attention. Why did God want Paul to go and do that? He was the missionary that God selected to go to the Gentiles and begin to teach. I listened to the German prayer letter here, and he's in Stuttgart. That's where the biggest course place is in the whole world, and it's a great tour. And you drool all over cars all the way through that place. Very wealthy place, the Stuttgart area is. But it's a beautiful city. To be able to go there and start a ministry and reach the German people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know something? Most of them don't believe anymore. They've sort of lost their belief and their faith in God. All of them are religious. All of them believe that they're going to go to heaven because they, through their taxes, they pay to the Catholic or to the Lutheran Church of Germany. They pay a tax to them. They're tithed to them, as you were. And so because they're faithful in doing that, they're going to heaven when they die. And they'll come along, and if they'll sit down and listen to a missionary, tell them, let me tell you how it really is, and show them from Scripture that they believe in the Bible. They believe this is God's Word. Most of them won't have one handy. Most of them wouldn't have one at home. But they believe that the Bible's God's Word. If you can take one and show them from Scripture of these things, they'll look at it and they'll understand. That missionary must have a praying heart to have things like that take place in his life. That's a tremendous blessing. Paul was like us. He prayed a lot. He prayed oftentimes. He never had any weaknesses. You know, different than that. Look at chapter 7. Somebody asked me one time, why did God have Paul write these things in chapter 8? That's a tremendously powerful chapter for Christians. Chapter 8, who can be against us if God be for us? Well, chapter 7 is the reason Paul wrote chapter 8. Chapter 7 was so discouraging and had him under so much conviction, he had to write something good and positive. In chapter 7, it says in verse number 14, I think, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Excuse me. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, and consent unto the law that it is good, now when it is no more, excuse me, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It goes back in chapter 7, we see he's having a difficult time living the life that he's directed to live. And he's only got one avenue of help. I need to pray. I need to pray and ask God to help me. I need to pray and ask God to lift me up and help me to see, help me to understand, help me to talk to the people that want to run me off or send me to jail or to prison or to do me in. I need to pray and ask how I can address these people. How can I address these situations? I need to pray. And he having a hard time. What, you ever found yourself in that kind of situation? You know that you should be involved in these people's lives that you're around about all the time, but somehow or another, you just get a feeling that maybe all my efforts are not as strong or not in the right way or a right mind to get something accomplished. Giving out tracts. Giving out tracts is a hard thing to do. You know, it's a hard ministry. Soul winning, being a witness, is a hard ministry. It's just only a very few in my Christian lifetime. It's not that long. But only a very few have been so forward with that, been so forward. Shocked me. Paul, I can't think of his name now, missionary from Texas, minister over, came to Alaska, and he showed us. They gave us a class on how to win souls. Just a simple outline. You can adjust it to you and who you are and everything, and it works. It does work, how to do that, what he taught us to do. And my soul, he just was open up. I watched him from a balcony. He was in the church, and there was folks coming into church for some sort of community thing. And he stood on the side, and he'd see people come in, and he'd walk over to one, stand next to him. He did this twice while I was there, and he talked to him, asked him for a minute. He said, "You got a minute? Can I show you something?" I said, "Yeah." And he took him aside out of the line. He talked to him. He led two people to the Lord that morning. Where did he get that boldness? Where did he get that gumption? Where did he get that assurance that he's not going to get smacked upside the head or run off or fired by the preacher that had brought him there and everything? Where do you get that? I haven't figured that out yet. If you figure it out and you got a secret remedy, you need to let me know, because I'd love to be like Carl Hatch, instead of like Rick Bonds. Paul had that problem too. That I know to do right, that which I know to do, I don't do those things. That things that I know I shouldn't be involved in, I got my hands all dirty in it. And I can't seem to get it out of my off my hands. I can't get it out of my head. How do we live with that? How do we do our responsibility towards God? How do we perform those things if we can't seem to get things right? You know, misstepping and going in. I've got lip prints all around my ankles from putting my foot in my mouth so many times. And you just have issues with that. Paul recognized his weakness. He recognized his problems with this. And he sought God's help over and over and over again, asking God to help him. We put things like that aside sometimes. We can have a problem, an issue, and we never ask God to help us. I have to give up something when he asked for prayer requests. I didn't raise my hand. I got a bunch of prayer requests. It's always on my mind. I pray for these things every day. We have a prayer sheet in our hands that we take home. If I don't have anything else to give, pray about, I have that prayer sheet. I'm one day behind in my Bible reading. And that just aggravates me to no end to realize that yesterday, before I went to bed, I knew I was a day behind and I didn't catch up. Instead, I said, no, I'll catch up twice tomorrow. I did not catch up twice today. I didn't do that. I'm still one day behind. And that aggravates me. Why don't I have a prayer request? Because I give up? God's not answering my prayers? God's not favoring me with good things like that, with answered requests? No, we should be shouting our requests. Every time we get an opportunity, pray for. I got a son coming home from Germany. They're moving back. Praise the Lord. He's retiring from the Army. Did his 25 years, and now he's going to go and be a contractor working with the military to teach them what he's taught them all the 25 years he is in. And so he's coming back to the States, and I'll be able to visit them periodically. They're going to live in Ohio. We need to pray for Ohio. I'm going to pray none of Ohio rubs off on him. Paul seems to be saying when he wrote this verse, I realized this weakness, I would pray more for God's strength. If I realized this weakness, let me change it like that. If I realized this weakness, I would pray for more strength from God. Jesus said, without me you can... He did not say, let me try this again. He did not say, without me you can get along with all the everyday stuff and problems with not any problem, no harm. No, that's not true, is it? We have everyday issues that come around and get in our life. You have an exciting feeling about politics, get on television and watch that for an hour, and you get mad and want to leave the country and go somewhere else to live. Heaven's a good place. Why not there? But he didn't say it that way. Instead, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so how, if with him I can bring forth much fruit, why am I not praying? How am I not spending time in him, abiding in him? You know what that means? How many of you live in a house? How many of you abide in the house? Everything in the house is under your hand. Everything. That's what God says. When you abide with me, you're under my hand. But not only that, when you abide with me, I'm under your hand. I'm in your hand also. We are joined together. We are one flesh together, just like me and my wife are one flesh since we got married. When I got saved, I became the bride of Christ, and he and me became the same. And so I can't abide without him. Amen? I can't go on. I can't be a Christian without Jesus in my life. And not only that, he's got to be in my life. I got to be in his. He needs to be in mine. And in agreement then, in a relationship understanding, we work together throughout to overcome the complications and problems of life. John 15:5 says, you can do nothing without me. Without me, you can do nothing. Others, look at the spiritual giants in the Bible and look at their prayer life. Think about Elijah. He called down fire from heaven to consume an offering. We put an altar up in the church over in Parkway. We had a platform like this, and just there off the platform, I got some rather large stones, as large as I could carry, which not really that big. And I made an altar there. And we went through the story of him approaching the people of Israel and challenging them and encouraging them and getting their attention. And then the prophets of Baal argued with him and brought reproach to him. And they also encouraged the people to turn away from him and come back to them. And, you know, something, that whole parade ground up there on top of that mountain, that's what it was. It was a ceremony to worship Baal. That's what they were all come from. And here comes this prophet walking across, and he challenges them to come away from Baal. And then he prayed. They built the altars. He cut his sacrifice up in the way it was supposed to, and he put it on the altar. And then he prayed. You know that prayer probably took him about that long to pray. And fire comes down. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offering and consumes the wood and consumes the stones and licks up the water in the trench. And then he sacrificed 400 prophets. I think that's a tremendous story. What kind of prayer life must he have had? Well, he came from starvation, camping out near a brook that was drying up. When he was taken away from there, he went to, what's the queen's name? The queen of Israel, I can't think of her name, and I got it written down here somewhere. But God took him to her hometown in another country, took her out of Israel into another country, her hometown. This is where she was born and brought up and everything. God took him into the lion's den, more or less. And the woman there that had the son that she was making a piece of bread for to eat, and the two of them died. He said, give to me first. And then this oil stayed. It continued on. The flour didn't run out. The oil didn't run out. What kind of prayer life is that? Have you ever caught that your groceries still keep coming back and keep providing and keep going on and everything? He had a prayer life. He had a tremendous prayer life. But you know, when Jezebel he had killed the prophets of Baal, he sent word back to him to see if I don't do more of the same thing to you. And that prophet who calls down fire two other times when the captains with their 50s are sent to arrest him and everything. When he's survived like he has, and God's taken care of him like he has. When she made a threat, he ran like a little girl across the desert. He's afraid, she's going to get me. How's that? That's not good. That's the man of God. That's a mighty man of God. He has the power to pray. He has the power to pray down fire from heaven. He has the power to overcome 400 witnesses for Baal and get rid of them. No, he had a prayer life. Now, he still had weaknesses. He still had issues, but he was able to overcome the issues with prayer and standing near God. How about our witness? Elijah was sort of like Paul. Powerful men of God still had problems taking the time that they should in prayer. I believe they also did not know just what to pray for oftentimes. We often fail to pray because we handle life without God. We can handle life, handle the situation. I can handle difficulties. I can spend time just sitting and dwelling on it or worrying over it or whatever else. I can sit and do that. I don't really just need to pray to God. He's got to be more busy than to deal with somebody like me. No, that's not true. God anticipates our prayers. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants to talk back to us. I believe that. He wants to provide for us. He wants to give to us. He wants to march us along life's way. He don't want us to go by ourselves. I believe with all my heart that God is anxious to hold my hand through life and to help me overcome the obstacles and the difficulties that are there. But I also believe God wants to hear me talk to Him about that. He wants to hear me tell Him I'm having problems, I'm having issues. Lord, what will I do with this problem, and how can I help my wife find those keys unless You are there and helping me out? God wants to do that. Thank God that the Holy Spirit does just that. Amen? He does just like that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What's groanings? Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Wait, I'm at the end of my rope. I can't find the keys. I can't get these things accomplished. I don't know about you study guys who teach you and everything. Sometimes I look in here and I thought, where'd this come from? I've never seen this before in my life. Lord, help me. I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. I'm supposed to do a Bible study, Lord. I don't know what in the world I'm doing. I need Your help. I need Your hand. I need Your blessing. Just like the Spirit also helped us. And then I think it's that kind of time that the Holy Spirit whispers in my ear, gives us something to say, gives us something to look for, to pray about, to examine. And as He ministers into our ears, He's praying into God's ears to help me, to bless me and take care of me. Give me what I need. I read in the chapter in Ephesians where it says we don't know how to pray. God has so much in store. We never know how much He has in store to provide for us because we don't know how to ask for it. James says you ask not because you have not because you ask not. Then you waste what you get from God and like that and things like that. But sometimes we get to that end of that road where we need and we realize, I don't know how to pray for this, Lord, but the Lord knows how to pray, and He's going to make intercession for me and pray. What's intercession? He's going to stand up for me. He's standing up for me. He's helping me out. To give an earthly example, the UTC football team needed an intercessor. They needed a bulldozer to come across Georgia's lines and wipe them all out. That's an intercessor. The Holy Spirit's not a delicate person. He's not a delicate person. He's God. He's God. He's as much God as Jesus, as much God as God the Father. And He lives inside of us. He lives inside of us with several different tasks, and any one of them would be more than I could ever even begin to wonder how He does it. But He does them all perfectly. And making intercession for us and helping us and providing is a major task for me to even think about. We know not what we should pray for as we ought to know. As we ought to know. I don't know. Sometimes I just don't. But He does, and He makes utterances for me. I thank God for His gift of the Holy Spirit. I really do believe that if I keep Him right busy, propping me up, I just really do. He's real busy with me. He might not have time for the rest of you, but He's real busy with me because I'm so needy in my life. Amen? And Jackie's just as bad as me, but don't tell her I said that. Next time you feel like exploding, next time you're at the end of your rope and you think about something that's missing out of life, and something that you're short on, something that you really honestly, in God's economy, that you should have, and it's not there, it's just not at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He's there waiting. That tickles me. The Philippian is there. Be anxious for nothing. He says then, just before that, let your moderation be made known unto God. The Lord is at hand. I think it's the way. It's either that or backwards before. This wasn't practice. That means he's right here. He's right here. The Lord's at hand. He's not wandering, has his attention somewhere else. The Holy Spirit in me has his attention on me. The Holy Spirit in you has his attention on you. He's sitting there listening inside us, listening for our need. He's listening for our desire. He's listening for our prayer. Tell him, to tell God the Father, this is the thing I need in life. I need a closer walk with Jesus. I need to be closer to him than I am to my wife. I can't be the husband my wife needs unless Jesus is first in my life. He's supposed to have the preeminence. He's supposed to be number one in my life. And if he's not, then I'm not the husband she needs. I need to see him. I need to approach him. I need to live in him. I need him to live in me and help me through everyday life situations. We think of the football situation, the giant screens and all the people watching us around the world and in the stadiums and everything like that. That's not the problems we have in life. My life, problems are right there in the house with me. Getting something cut up and putting on a stove so we can burn it and warm the house up. When you have an issue, when you have a problem, remember, God's Spirit is there, right with you. He's right with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't tell you how many times you should be saying thank you, Lord, for all that he does for us, all that he provides for us. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven,